showtime.
It's time for that radio show everyone loves.
Do not attempt to change the station. Just listen, and we'll keep broadcasting.
It's time to begin the show.
103.9 LI News Radio presents Your Island, the very best in talk radio, with your host, Tom Shalero.
And once again, welcome back. This segment of our program is being brought to you by the Suffolk County Police Benevolent Association. The PBA serves to support law enforcement, participate in special events and programs, all designed to help protect our community. They care about you and keeping us all safe. From the anti-drinking and driving campaigns to protecting our children with education on the Megan's Law, the PBA promotes a great relationship between the police and the people it's sworn to serve. Suffolk County is one of the safest counties in the country, and the PBA takes pride and strong belief in our security. They have honored our fallen heroes and contribute greatly to our suburban way of life. Need to know more? Go right to that website, www.suffolkcountypba.org. Noel DiGirolamo, a president. Let's get right into it. As I said, a lot of going on today in the show, but we have to recognize tomorrow. Very important day, folks. I hope everybody's going to get out and vote in the school board elections. So much is at stake. We've been profiling some of the school board candidates. These are nothing more than community folks that just want to get out there and they serve their community. And one of them is with me right now, and that's Greg Maglino. Greg is running for the South Country School Board. And Greg has an incredible resume, United States Marine Corps. He's an EMT, State University in Albany, has a history and criminal justice degree, goes back and forth with so many different things that he's done. District manager for the Brookhaven Ambulance Company, somebody who's got a community resume. And again, somebody you'd like to see in elective office. And I think it's so important. Greg Maglino, how are you, my friend?
Doing good, Tom. Appreciate you having me on this today.
You know, so many people, you know, we again, you're very busy with the campaign, so we have about 10 minutes or so. The number one issue people are always saying is this whole idea of fiscal responsibility, how to control the budget. And a lot of times people get a little flustered when it comes to looking at budgets that are $20, $30, $40, $50, $60 million. How do you add to the at least making people feel comfortable that you've got a working knowledge of how this money is spent?
Well, Tom, it's funny you say that because I've been here before. I actually served on the school board and was the president during a time when we had some fiscal deficits, but nothing like we're facing now. I wish school budgets were only $30, $40, $50 million. A medium-sized school district now is anywhere between $100 to $150 million, and some of the larger ones actually have budgets that are greater than 9 of the 10 towns out there. So we're talking about a lot of money when it comes to school districts, and they have an important job. That's to educate our youth.
So as far as the safeguarding a lot of that money, is there? Do the school, but I'll even ask it this way, do school board members at least have some authority to represent taxpayers? Or is it all just, and I hate to say this because you're a community guy, you've done, and of course what you just outlined, if you've been here before, that it's just more than just a popularity contest. It's something where we depend on you folks because you can do something to make our lives better.
So the answer is that, unfortunately, in most cases, it's a popularity contest. It's name ID. But I believe, at least in our district this year, they're looking for experience to come in and grab the wheel. You know, we have a ship that's heading for the rocks right now. Our superintendent is leaving a year early. We just had the business manager resign on Wednesday. And the district has admitted to misappropriating and misspending $21 million. So we've got a tremendous amount of work to do. And it's actually going to take a collective effort from the entire community, not just your board members. But as to whether a board member themselves can effectuate anything, absolutely. Matter of fact, it's the most important thing a school board does is watch the finances of the community to make sure that we can support programs and our staff.
All right. If you're just joining us, I'm with Greg Maglino. He's running for the South Country School Board. Has been there before, something I just learned just minutes ago. So let's talk about $21 million misappropriated funds and so on. What do you see as priority in order to, you know, believe me, if I lived in a district that misappropriated $21 million, I'd be a little upset because my school board or my school taxes make up the bulk of my property taxes. And you know as well as I know, like every other Long Islander, we pay a heck of a lot of taxes here on Long Island. Greg?
Tremendous amount of taxes, and we do that for good reason. But that being said, you're right. Your school taxes make up anywhere from 60 to 70% of your total tax bill. And people should be mad when money is mismanaged. I brought out the other day that in our community, the only institution that seems to misappropriate money or end up running deficits seems to be the one institution we spend the most money on, to actually watch and safeguard our money. We don't have these problems with the library, the fire district, the ambulance company. But when it comes to the school where we spend millions to watch the money, somehow it goes out the door. And the explanation given for the $21 million was even more bizarre. We were told, well, we never looked at the state reports. Nobody realized the state was giving us money in excess of what we were paying out. And they then tried to associate it back to a mismatch between the actual payments from the state and the length of the bond that was taking out. The unfortunate part about that is that mathematically it doesn't work. The state has given us $126 million in reimbursement money towards the bonds we took out. We've only had to pay $105 million in bills so far, so there should be $21 million left. And when they finally were confronted with that, they had to admit that, yes, they did receive the additional funds, but that they didn't realize it because nobody had looked at a form called an SA-777, which the state sends you, that shows you exactly what they're sending you, when they're sending it, and where it's supposed to go. And that's a little bizarre. If it happens for 1 year, maybe two, but when it's happened over a period of 10 to 12 years, it's totally unacceptable.
And going forward, I know we have a few minutes left, but going forward, again, Greg McLean, running for school board, South Country School District, how would you prevent something like this? Because to me, this is a mess.
You need good, firm, internal controls. And the state put them in place after the Roslyn incident, but they don't work. It's almost like when you see these train crashes and they say, well, how did this happen? And then you later find out, well, the guy in charge of the train or the gal in charge of the train ran through all of the lights, all the stops that said problem coming. You can only put them in place when you have a board that is cognizant of what's going on and takes their job responsibly. And that didn't happen here for quite a period of time. This place apparently was running amok, and nobody was paying attention to the most important things, which are the finances. And I say important only secondary to the safety inside the schools for our staff and students, which is also a problem in the South Country community.
Yeah. When you're going out campaigning, what do the folks say to you? I mean, a lot of times I've spoken to people running for the state Senate and the state assembly, and there's usually different type of questions. But we're dealing with an election tomorrow. So what do the folks say when you're running for school board? The questions, I'm just kind of curious to see what's on the minds of somebody who is going to consider your candidacy, again, Greg McLean, your candidacy. What are they asking you?
Well, they know I'm running with an experienced team, myself, Amy Thomas, and Marion McKenna, who's also a former school board president. But what they're universally telling us is that they're fed up, that the handling of COVID, the mask situation inside the schools, along with the fiscal crisis, and most importantly right now, the fear that they have of sending their children to certain schools in our district because of the violence, needs to be corrected. And they can be corrected, but there has to be a will on the board and that of the superintendent to do so.
All right, Greg, before I let you go, any Facebook pages, websites, people can at least look up a little bit where they go to vote or anything like that, or information about you?
Well, I know that the South Country Central School District does have a website. We haven't put anything up. People in the community know my team, and I hope they come out and vote tomorrow. If they assume that we're going to bring about change without their vote, they've made a mistake. But if they do vote for them, they should know that we're going to get to work immediately.
All right. Once again, Greg McLean of running South Country School District. Good luck tomorrow, Greg. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much, Tom. Appreciate your time. Have a great day.
Okay, let's get on with us right now. We have Jennifer Wassenhoff. You all know Jennifer. Jennifer has been a regular on our show. Jennifer has taken up the cause, rightfully so, of her father, Dennis. Dennis was killed, I think it's 31, possibly 32 years ago. Jennifer will correct me on that. He was a Suffolk County police officer. Went out to his vehicle one morning, and the car exploded. And we lost Dennis, became one of our hero officers, lost in the line of duty. Jennifer was young at the time, but has grown up trying to seek justice. There has been no arrest in a case like that. We've talked to our district attorney. They are looking at this case. We're going to get an update from Jennifer. But at the same time, there is an event coming up that we all have to attend. But let me get Jennifer on. Jennifer Wassenhoff, how are you, my friend? Haven't heard from you in a while.
Good, Tom. How are you? Thanks for having me on again.
You know, again, I do follow your Facebook pages and so on. Let's just start off with the event and see what the objectives of this event is. To me, I was very much gratified to see that that something major is going to be happening? When is it? Where is it going to be? And what are you hoping to accomplish?
Yeah, we're really excited about it. We're going to have a Justice for Dennis Wustenhoff rally. It's going to be Saturday, June 25th at 2 p.m. It's going to be right in Hop Hog at the Denison Building. There's like a front lawn area there. It's family friendly. We're just looking to have a peaceful, rally where we're basically just trying to bring attention to the fact that still this is unresolved. Everyone is welcome from here to there. So we hope to see everybody there and help us get closer to justice.
Yeah. And as we get closer, folks, I will be saying the date, the time, the place. We'll be saying it on this radio show on a regular basis so nobody forgets. I think this is something that everybody should attend. We had a Back the Blue rally. It was about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, actually pre-COVID. And many of our listeners heard it first on this radio broadcast. And a lot of people went to the Denison Building because that's where that was held. This one is going to be held there. I would like to see the same turnout. This is so, so important, folks. This should never have happened. We're dealing with a situation where there has been no arrest of one of Suffolk's finest. And many of us connected to the law enforcement community, you know, see this firsthand as really a stabbing in the heart when it comes to that. Jennifer, how about an update on what's the latest with the case?
Well, we've been in regular communication with the new DA, Ray Tierney. He's been a pleasure to deal with thus far. And we are actually scheduled for an upcoming meeting in the near future. I don't want to say what day, but we are scheduled. And we're looking forward to getting some more updates at that point as well. They seem to be cooperating with us, and we're pleased with that. So, you know, we're pretty hopeful and thinking positive.
Yeah, and I think that's obviously the right approach. You know, again, I know you, your family, and it's something that the whole Long Island community should band together and give that assistance. I guess there's no other way to put it that we all have to help in something like this. And you folks were on some nationally programs, syndicated television programs, so you're getting responses from all over the country. Am I correct?
Absolutely. I mean, it's amazing because people from all walks of life, they just can't imagine that something like this would happen and then just for all these years remain unsolved. It doesn't make sense to us. It doesn't make sense to strangers, friends, family, you name it. It doesn't make sense. I mean, 32 years, that's an entire lifetime for somebody. And, you know, it's really just... it's really a shame that an undercover detective gets murdered in front of his home, and it's not resolved. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
I remember you came on the show and you talked about that day. You were, I guess, a little girl at the time, you know, and the impact that had on you and your memories of it. Quite poignant when we all listen to that and we see the impact that this has on a family and what this all means and the fact that. I've always believed that the Suffolk County law enforcement community is a family, and I'm hoping that this all comes through. Does anything come through Crime Stoppers or anything like that that you've heard of?
I know that they do receive tips on a regular basis, but unfortunately they don't disclose those tips to us, but we do know that they come in, and I believe they forward that information to the powers that be, and they do with it what they can. Speaking of Crime Stoppers, anybody can call them at 1-800-220-TIPS. And all calls are kept confidential. I don't even think they take your name. There's a $65,000 reward out there still. So if anybody knows any little tiny bit of information that they think will just put the nail in the coffin, please, please call them.
Yeah, I think very important. Before I let you go, put that event out there again, because I think it's so important that we keep repeating it so we can get that crowd out there, get the notoriety that we need in a case like this so we could keep moving what you folks have been doing so great. So the date, the time, again, the location of the event.
Sure. And you can always find us on Facebook at Justice for Dennis Wustenhoff, and you could find the information there as well. But it's the Justice for Dennis Wustenhoff Rally, and it will be Saturday, June 25th at 2 p.m. on the front lawn area of the Denison Building in Hop Hog. And it's family-friendly. We're just looking to gather peacefully and you know, hopefully draw a crowd and bring awareness and get things done. You know, we have to just keep rallying forever.
And that's important. So, we'll keep pushing this on this radio show and how important it is. Jennifer, have a great rest of the day, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you so much, Jennifer Wesson.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Okay, before we go off the air for the next segment, let's take some calls, 631-451-1039. A lot happening. We have a few minutes left in this segment. Again, the incident in Buffalo has certainly sparked a lot of controversy in terms of discussion. Is it going to be made a political issue? I saw the Governor Hochul on numerous times talking about how she would move in certain directions and to preventing all of this from happening again. So this really took a lot from us and so on. Again, 631-451-1039. In terms of what we all feel about this and how many of us think that it's an individual incident that is occurring quite a bit. You know, again, what I mean by that, we have individuals in this country that are severely mentally ill, that believe in voices in their heads and so on, and that if we make it more of a divisions in this country, we don't solve anything. We make it even worse. We create greater divisions that will inspire, I guess, these individuals. So it's just such a tough one. 631-451-1039. We got Rich over there in Sound Beach. Rich, what do you say, my friend? You're on the air.
What do I say? Well, you know, I know what happened in Buffalo was a tragedy, and everywhere else, and it is a tragedy. But I just wanted to let everybody, all your listeners, know that this coming fall into the next winter is going to be horrendous for anybody who has oil delivered to their home. And I would like everybody to take their bill when they get it and just mail it to Chuck Schumer, because I think Chuck Schumer should be the one who should see what we're paying for oil now, and that we can't all afford PSE&G to heat our houses. Thank you, and that's all I got to say for now. Thank you very much.
I appreciate that, Rich. I know Rich does call on, and I believe Rich has a business, and what's happening right now in terms of the price of home heating oil and gasoline and energy products and so on is just so high. We talked about it a lot last week, and I had said something that it's not a topic of conversation anymore. It's an ultimate destruction of the Long Island families, of the American family, of the people in the state of New York that have to pay for this. We're no longer joking anymore. If you notice, when it first started to go up, you'd pull into a local gas station in your neighborhood, and you'd be talking to your neighbors and say, look, the gas went up 6 cents last night or something like that. It was moving in such a direction. But when one thinks about it and one puts it into perspective, it's absolutely horrific when we do see it. Let's get, we got Dean on the line right now. All right, what do you say, my friend?
Hey, well, I just wanted to bring up, and I heard your listener before talk about the home heating oil prices, and yes, they are through the roof, but you can also, when you're mailing that bill to Chuck Schumer, make sure you send a copy to every single Senate Democrat, state Senate Democrat, because last week, Senator Wyk had introduced a bill, putting forward a bill to give a rebate on your home heating oil bills to help ease the pain, similar to the effort as far as the taxes on gas. And the Democrats would not even allow it, shot it down right out of the gate, would not allow it to advance. So you can thank them for that. You know, it's amazing how every effort to help is thwarted by these people.
But we'll vote billions of dollars to help people that are in this country illegally with monies because they're not qualified for unemployment insurance or social services. They'll do that.
Exactly.
They'll do that. And now my anger is there. It's just beyond belief, Dean. Always a pleasure to have you on. I got one more call. Thanks,
Dean.
Just
wanted to let everybody know the effort was there. Senator Wyk and the Republicans here on Long Island are trying. They really are.
I think Thursday we'll talk more about it when you come on the show, because I think that's an important topic to pick up. Thank you, Dean. Appreciate it. And let's get Will over there in Quorum. Will, what do you say, my friend?
Yes, how you doing, Tom? Good morning. Good afternoon. Yes, I was listening earlier regarding one of your guests said that we're fighting with the future and whatever it was regarding whatever issue he was talking about, the immigration problem, I guess. And he made it almost sound like it's an organic thing. It's not an organic thing when back in the 60s, they changed the makeup of people coming into the country, you know, percentages from Europe, South Africa, you know, Africa, wherever. But that was legislature's problem. But it didn't happen organically.
Yeah.
Now it's what's going on in south of the border. That's not organically either. It's
no.
A total obfuscation of the federal government's responsibility. It's being created. He's making it sound like we're fighting with the future because it's happening. It's just happening. It's not just happening. It's being forced upon people. Tax. What kills me is taxpayers' money.
Yeah.
I don't mind people coming here from other countries and doing it legally, but when we're paying $15,000 for
every
illegal immigrant coming.
Yeah. That's a good point. Believe it or not, we're at a commercial break. Thanks, Will. Appreciate it. We're going to take a short break. When we get back, Alison Esposito, candidate, lieutenant governor, coming up next, folks.